Shalom Aleichem. Parsha has told us it's action-packed, and at the beginning of the Parsha, we have both Esav and Yaakov in utero, in Rivka. She's expecting twins, and we'll see throughout the Parsha various issues that come up between the two brothers, the twin brothers. And at the way end of the Parsha, we have Yaakov, quote-unquote, stealing the Bechora from Esav. He gets the Bracha from his father, Yitzchak, in place of Esav, and accordingly, Yaakov is instructed by his parents, run away because Esav really wants to kill you. And that's how the Parsha basically ends off. So we will, Amir Tashem, have six Divrei Torah. And we're going to start all the way towards the beginning of the Parsha with the Pasuk, Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chaveis, Vayisrotzitzu, Habanim Bikirba, Rivka expecting. And the two twins, Yaakov and Esav, are not getting along even in the womb. And Rashi makes the following comment, Kishahaisa overes al pischei Torah shel Shem ve'Ever, when Rivka, the mother, would pass by the yeshiva of Shem ve'Ever, Ratz u'mefarchetz latzeitz. It was Yaakov that wanted to get out, and that's what the word vayisrotzitzu, from the word ratz, to run out, that the children, they wanted to get out of the room, womb, but for different reasons. Yaakov wanted to get out in order to learn in the yeshiva. He wanted to go to the yeshiva, Shem ve'Ever. On the other hand, when Rivka was passing by a place of Avodah Zorah, of idolatry, it was Esav that wanted to get out. So we have the following question. We can understand why Esav wanted to get out, because there's no Avodah Zorah in the womb. No Avodah Zorah there. He wanted to get out. The womb was a place of Torah. Let me get out. I want to go to the place of Avodah Zorah. He wanted out right now. On the other hand, and this is the question, Yaakov, why did he want to get out of the womb? Chazal tell us in the Gemara of Nida that when a child is in utero, he is being taught the Torah, the entire Torah. So why wouldn't Yaakov want to stay inside the womb? And in fact, as is told, he wanted to get away from Esav. He wanted to get out. He didn't want to share a room with Esav. And this is actually, sounds a little flippant, but this is not at all. We can have somebody in the best of environments, a Torah environment, but if he has a bad influence, a serious bad influence on him, that may be not the right place for him. So even though the environment would have otherwise been great for Yaakov, because it's the place to learn Kol HaTorah Kulo, to learn the entire Torah, but if Esav is there, Esav is not going to be of the best influences, and that is a place that you need to get away from. That is Dvar Torah number one. Dvar Torah number two goes as follows. We are reading the Pasuk. It's Perek Chafei, Pasuk Chaf Zayin, Vayigdulu Hanarim. Now we're going to the next phase of their life. They were given birth to. They are starting to grow up. And we see that they have very different directions in life and very different character traits in life. Vayi Esav Ish Yodea Tzayit Ish Sadeh. And the Esav, he was a man who understood hunting. That's Ish Yodea Tzayit. And he was also a man of the field. Those are different descriptors that we have of Esav. Somebody who understood hunting, that was an activity that he was involved in, and he was a man of the field, that is a place, a location that he would go to. And when it came to Yaakov, the description of Yaakov, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim, and we'll explain it as an innocent man, a simple man, a trusted man, a trustworthy man, and also he dwelled in tents. So that's Yaakov Ishtam. He was an innocent person, Yoshev Ohalim, he would dwell in tents. And the question is as follows, and this is a great question actually asked by Rav Yaakov Friend, that is the son of Rav Yisachar Friend, and he was once over and gave us an amazing Dvar Torah. I loved it then, and I love it now. And it goes as follows. He asked the following question. If you look closely at this pasuk, when it's describing Esav, it says the word Ish twice. He's a man of X, he's a man of Y. So, v'yigdulu ha'ne'arim, we'll read it again. V'yesav ish yodea tzayit, he was a man who understood hunting, ish saden, he was also a man of the field. So it says ish twice. And what's interesting is, if we look at both of these descriptors, they're fairly similar, if not the same. Somebody who understood hunting, he's a man of the field. That is a very similar description of Esav, but it says ish separately for each of those quote-unquote different descriptors. He was an ish yodea tzayit, he was an ish sadeh. But on the other hand, when it came to Yaakov, it says ish only one time describing him. And the two descriptors of him are quite different. He's an Ishtam, he's an innocent man, That is a character trait of his values. And also Yosef Olam is a person who dwelled in tents. Those are very different things. And despite the fact that they are very different, it says Ish only one time. And we would have thought it would be the other way around when it comes to Esav. It should have said Ish once because he has two descriptors that are very similar, Yodea Tzayid and Ish Sada, Ish Yodea Tzayid, Ish Sada, very similar, so, but it still says Ish twice. And when it came to Yaakov, we have two descriptors that are very different, and nonetheless, it says Ish only one time. And that is our question in Dvar Torah number 2. And Rabbi Friend, Rabbi Yaakov Friend, answers as follows, that a Torah Jew's every thought and deed is guided by the Torah and its values. That's what we are. When we have a question, when we have a Shaila, we have something that is disturbing us, we ask a Shaila, what does the Torah tell me to do? And accordingly, the Torah unifies us and unifies us that we are one. We are consistent throughout our different activities in life. So even if we have disparate activities, we go to work, we learn, we run errands, we're a person at home, despite that we are involved in very different activities, we are always the same person, consistent and unified by the Torah. In contrast, a Jew or a non-Jew who is removed from Torah values doesn't live a unified, consistent life, but leaves a disjointed life. And despite the fact that he's the same individual, but when he's in different circumstances or encounters different challenges and issues, he's going to be a very different person. He's one person when he's with his wife, and he has different values when he's with his friends, and yet other values when he's at work. And maybe he's religious in religious settings, but when it comes to work, as they say, business is business, and the ethics go out the window. So his life lacks a unifying force. It lacks a unified principle. Accordingly, his perspectives, his values are fractured, and it's always going to depend how he wants to act and what he wants to do, but he is not a unified individual. And that's why that's concept to our pasuk. When it talks about Esav, Esav did not have a unifying force, a unifying principle. He did not have the Torah to tell him what his values should be. And accordingly, he is described as man twice, even when describing similar activities, because even when dealing in similar activities, his principles and values can be different because there is nothing that unifies him to be a unified person having proper and appropriate values, unified, consistent values. So that's why it says, V'igdul ha'arim v'esav, he was an Yisrael Yodea Tzayid. And he was also an Isada because he was a fractured person. He was this type of person when he was doing this activity, this type of person when he was doing this activity, and very different people. On the other hand, when it came to Yaakov, it says, Ish only once, even when describing very different activities, because he was the same unified individual, regardless of the challenge, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the people he was with, he was always unified by the values of the Torah. He was always consistent. He was the same person. Beautiful explanation by Rav Yaakov Fran of our pasuk. And then he went a step further. And he quoted in the name of Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Baltimore, Zatzal, as follows. He says, if you look, a famous Gemara, and we're going to have a different explanation than the classic Gemara, there's a Gemara in Psachim, Sadi, Ches, Amud Beis, and Amar. So Rav Yosef tells us as follows, Iloha Yoma de Kagarim, if it wasn't for the holiday of Shavuos, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, how many Yosefs are there in the marketplace? Now the typical explanation, Rashi says as follows, if not for the Torah whose study has elevated me, I'd just be another Yosef, because there's so many Yosefs out there. There's so many Joe Shmos out there. So if I didn't have the value of the Torah, I'd just be another simple, plain Yosef. That's the simple explanation of the Gemara. But Rav Ruderman explained it differently. And he said as follows, exactly as our first part of this Dvar Torah, Rav Yosef here in this Gemara was saying, if it weren't for the Chag of Shavuos, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, what does that mean? So Rav Yosef was saying that the Torah had taught him to view the world as a unified whole, enabling him to be one Yosef in all aspects of his life. Accordingly, the Gemara is read as follows, Iloha Yoma de Kagarim, if it weren't for Shavuos, if it weren't for the Torah that we received on Shavuos and the values that I have, How many Yosefs would I be when I'm out in the shuk, when I'm dealing with different environments and people and places? I would be so many different people because I wouldn't have the values of the Torah to unify me. Exactly as we explained before, that is why it says, Yaakov, Ish, Tam, Yosef, all him, and says, Ish only once, even when he's involved in different activities, he was always the same unified person. The same thing is what Rav Yosef is saying here in this Gemara. If it weren't for the Torah, I would be a different Yosef. In each context, I would be a different person. And that's what we need, the values of the Torah to unify us so that we are acting constantly, consistently, in accordance with the requirements of the Torah. Now we are moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3, but we're going to stay on the same pasuk. And Yaakov was an Ish Tam. We said he's an innocent person, a wholesome person, a simple person. So Rashi says as follows. What does that mean, Ish Tam? What does at least Tam mean? Mi she'enu charif leramos karitam. Somebody who is not sharp, crafty. Someone who is not an expert in deceit is called somebody who is Tam, innocent or simple. So he says something very fascinating. He says as follows, and this is the name in the name of a Rebbe HaKadosh Melublin, Adam tzareich leot Adon Omoshal Amidosav. We have to be in control. We have to be owning our midos, our character traits, and how we act, and what we do, and how we act in different circumstances, in order to act in the proper way. Because, truth be told, there are some times that it's going to be appropriate to act with a midara, which would typically would say that is a bad value, a bad way to act, to be crafty, to be deceitful. But sometimes we have to do it l'shem shamayim for the proper purpose. It's very fascinating. Medrash in Kol Esrab, it says as follows, Mikol mi shenase rachman b'makom achzari. Anyone who has mercy in a place where he should be mean, that he should not have mercy, so he's still merciful, even in times he shouldn't be merciful. There are times we shouldn't be merciful. The default is to be merciful, but there are times we should get out of that default. Levasof ne'ese achzar b'makom rachmani. There are times, accordingly, because he's not able to exercise his values in the proper way based on the circumstances, he's being merciful when he shouldn't, then he's going to come to be unmerciful. He's going to come to be mean, an evil, difficult person when he should be acting as a Rachman, when he should be acting mercifully. So we see here, very fascinating, that there's not a default rule when it comes to how we should act that applies across the board, but rather we have to take a step above that and say we have a default. We have to be a Rachman, we have to be merciful, but we have to be so in control of that meat and so in control of the characteristic that we have to know when to exercise it, which is going to be usually. And there are times we have to know to not exercise it. And he says, accordingly, so fascinating, this is a very fascinating explanation from the Rebbe Melublin. He says, accordingly, we don't describe Yaakov as Tam. It doesn't say Yaakov Tam, that he was so simple and innocent that he was unable to know when to use his innocence, his wholesomeness, his simpleness or not. That's not what we're saying at all. He wasn't 100% Tam. It says he was an Ish Tam. What is an Ish Tam? It's somebody who is a level higher than Tam. Somebody who's a Tam, he only knows Tamimis. He only knows innocence and that's it. And we can call that person, really, it's too one-sided in favor of one Mida. That's not necessary. That's okay, that's good. But there's a higher level Ish Tam. Somebody is so in control of being Tam that he knows when to exercise it. What's going to be the vast majority of times, but there are times he knows to not exercise it. For example, when you're dealing with a thief, when you're dealing with somebody who is deceitful, you have to act accordingly in deceit as well. There's actually a pasuk that says that in Mishlei. And that's why there's a drash of Chazal that Yaakov tells, I am the ach of Lavan in deceit as well. His brother-in-law, he says, I can act that way. If somebody's going to be deceitful for me, I am going to be able to reciprocate. And accordingly, let's go back to our pasuk and go back and say, what did Rashi really mean? So let's go. V'Yaakov Ishtam. It doesn't say Yaakov was a simple, wholesome, innocent person. He says Yaakov Ishtam. Yaakov was somebody who was an Ishtam. That means me. What does Tam mean? Not Ishtam. Tam. Rashi's not explaining who Yaakov was, that he was an Ishtam. Rashi is explaining the characteristic of just Tam. Tam is somebody who's Misheno Harif Lamorot Kari Tam. Somebody who's Tam, he is not crafty whatsoever. He is 100% innocent, wholesome, but he doesn't get that there are times to be wholesome and there are times to not. That wasn't Yaakov. Yaakov was not Tam. He was an Ish Tam. And Ish Tam is somebody that is so in control of his midos that he knows when to exercise to mimus, when to be innocent, but he also times, he knows that there are times that you should not be innocent. He's Ish Tam is somebody who is an Adon Alat Mimos. He is in control. He's an owner of being an innocent person, which means he does know that sometimes you are tzimimistic and sometimes not. And the message obviously here is that things are not always black and white. Things are gray, even when it comes to our character traits. We have to know that sometimes, and the vast majority of times, we have to be using good character traits, but there also is a place for not using those characteristic traits 100%. We have to know if, as even sometimes we can be mean, sometimes we can be crafty and deceitful, as long as we're doing it for the right motives, and we consult with the Rav that it's the right context to be doing it. But life is not black and white. It indeed is gray sometimes. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 4, and this is the Beis Halevi brings the pasuk that says Vayomer Esav. This is Chaf Hei, Perek Chaf Hei, pasuk Lamed. This is talking about after the sale, or on the sale of, right before the sale of the Bechora. We have Esav who was hunting in the field, then he comes back, and it's actually the day that Avram Avinu passed away. And here we have Yaakov. He is cooking a pot of lentils in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the Su'udas Havra'ah. The Su'udas Havra'ah is the first meal that you give to an Avel after a Kfura, after that close relative is buried. So over here we have Yaakov. He is cooking the lentils for his father Yitzchak, because Yitzchak's father Avraham had just passed away. And Esav really knows what's going on. He knows that his grandfather passed away, and he sees that it's lentils there, but he's famished. But he doesn't want to acknowledge, he doesn't want to admit that he's asking to eat of the food that is being cooked because his own grandfather passed away. He's out hunting, he's out enjoying life when his father passed away just then. And he doesn't want to acknowledge that my grandfather passed away. He's even embarrassed. I don't want to ask specifically for lentils. He knows that lentils are cooked because that is a food that you give to an avel, because lentils represent the circle of life. They are rounded. It also represents that an avel doesn't greet people, doesn't speak so much, and that's why it has no opening, it has no mouth in it. So what does he do? Instead of saying, can I have of the lentils, because then he's acknowledging these are lentils that are being cooked for my father, for the Suda Savra, he says, can I have the red stuff? He's not acknowledging anything. It's devoid of his embarrassment. Can I have the red stuff? The red, tenli adom adom azeh, na min adom azeh, liteni na min adom azeh, can I have the red stuff? And now, but truth be told, he says, but once I eat it, I'm going to have to acknowledge these are lentils, because they are lentils, if I just eat it normally. So he says, I really don't want to be acknowledging the severity of this day, the importance of this day, the sadness of this day. I just want to eat something. That was his perspective. Esav always living in the day, looking towards his material needs and not looking for depth and seriousness of night. So he says, it's a problem. If I say, can you give me to eat of the lentils, as soon as I start eating it, I'm going to have to acknowledge these are lentils and a grandpa passed away. So he says more, he says, halitenina mina adom adom azeh. If I say, give me to eat, he's going to give me to eat. I'm going to see their lentils. I'm not going to have to acknowledge it. So pour it down my throat. Ki ayef anochi, I'm too tired to even eat by myself, because he doesn't want to have to acknowledge it. So he says, please pour it down my throat. I'm too exhausted. He wants to ignore the whole severity, seriousness of the day. And that's why he says the Beis Halevi, he was saying, Haliteni, pour it in my throat, give me the red stuff, without acknowledging anything that had to do with the death of his grandfather or the mitzvah Sodos Hovra that was going on right now. Okay, we are now fast forwarding to Perek Chavav, Pasuk Lamed Hey, different incidents that are going on at this point. Yitzchak had various issues and run-ins with Avimelech, the king of the Plishtim, and Avimelech said, go away, I don't want to see you. Then Avimelech went and met again with Yitzchak, and Yitzchak says, what do you want? You threw me away. You don't get like me. Why are you coming to me? And at the end of the day, they enter into a treaty together. So they enter into a peace treaty between the two of them. Avimelech departs, and it says in our pasuk, this is Dvar Torah number 5, Ve'yelchumi to b'shalom. He departed him in peace. And the Rebbe Rebunim says as follows, only somebody like Avimelech or somebody who doesn't have values or doesn't appreciate the importance of life is going to be able to depart from a great person, Yitzchak B'Shalom, as if nothing happened. He was by Yitzchak. They ate together. They shared bread together. And at the end of the day, he simply leaves in peace. No problem. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with myself. I'm satisfied with my direction in life. And he says, but a Jew, Yehudi kishubah lebeis shel tzadik, when a Jew comes to the house of a tzadik, harei libo nishbar be'akir bo, his heart should be broken from within, ad she'einenu motzei makom la'atzmo, that he doesn't feel so self-confident, he doesn't feel so self-satisfied with himself. When you meet somebody of that stature, it shouldn't be vayelchu mi'itu b'shalom, that you're just leaving and I'm at peace with myself, but we have to think deeply. How do we achieve status like this? How do we try to strive? Maybe we'll never be like that great tzaddik, but how do we go in that direction even more? And we have somebody who is focused on life. We should indeed, and we made a tzaddik like that, of somebody of significance, it should be an inflection point for us to think how we can improve ourselves. And that's why Rebbe Bunim wants to contrast that with Avimelech, that Vayechu Mito B'Shalom, he's going in peace. He's okay with his life. I'm okay with the direction of life. And that's not what we should be. We should always be having investigations and analysis into the direction in life and ways that we can improve it. We are now going forward to our last Dvar Torah, number 6. And this I am taking from the Sefer Kimitzion of Ben Sion Rothenberg. I used it, I believe it was last week, by a student in YU that records a bunch of wonderful Divrei Torah by Rav Nevensal. And he brings two psukim. We're going to see two psukim that the parents of Yaakov instruct him to run. Go away from here. Esav wants to kill you. And the psukim go as follows. In Perek Chav Zayin, Pasuk Mem Gimel, it says, V'ata ben Yishma b'koli v'kum brach lecha elavan achi charana. This is the request or the instruction by the mother Rivka telling Yaakov, run away. V'ata beni, my dear son, listen to me. V'kum, get up now, go, brach lecha, you need to run to my brother Lavan in Haran. You have to get out of here, Esav wants to kill you. And now, if you look, the next time this happens, it's not an instruction by the mother, but by the father, similar, Perek Chavches, Pasuk Beis, it says, kum, lech, padena Aram, go to Penaram, Beisa, Besuel, go to the house of Besuel, Besuel is the father of Lavan, Avi, Mecha, the father of your mother, akach lechamisha misha, and go get married there, minuas lavan, from the children of Lavan, achi mecha. And the question that Ben Zion Rothenberg goes by Zach Rothenberg, he asked Rav Nevensal, Rav Avigdor Nevensal, the great Gaon, the Rav of the old city of Yerushalayim, so why did Yaakov need instructions twice to go to Lavan? It should be enough to have one instruction from one parent. Why did you need two instructions? And Rav Nevensal answered as follows. We'll actually see two different answers on this. One from Rav Nevensal. So Rav Nevensal says as follows, Yaakov Ratza Reshus Game Aviv. He didn't only want permission from his mother, instruction from his mother, but also from his father. Why? In order to fulfill the mitzvah of not only Kibud Em, but also Kibud Av as well. The first time the instruction was from Rivka. The second time the instruction from Yitzchak. So the first time from his mother, the second time from his father. So we see here an important yisod. You can fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Av. You can fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Em. But best is when you have the same instruction, and we should try to make an effort to listen to both of their requests. So the request from both of them, you're getting double schar. You're being mekayim not only kibud av or kibud em, but you're being mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em, besimcha as well. So that is the ideal way to do kibud av ve'em. Accordingly, one of the instructions twice, once from each of them. So that was the response of Nevensal. And he also got a response from Rabbi Reuven Tarragon, also in Yerushalayim at Yeshiva Sakotel. And he said as follows, Amar Sha'adam Tami Tzari Lalechet El Mishu. You always have, El Mashu, you always have to go to somewhere. It's not good to run from something without having a destination. You have a specific place you want to go to, a specific objective you want to accomplish. When we look at the instruction of Rivka, which is the first instruction, she simply said, get up, kum, brach lecha, run away from here. But there wasn't a
goal at the end of the day. Run from here was save your life. She said where to go as well, but there was no real objective upon arrival. It was simply leave from here. That was the objective. On the other hand, when we look closely, the instruction was from Yitzchak was otherwise. He didn't simply say leave here, which he also said kum lech, but lech padena, go to your destination. The focus is not leaving from here, but arriving at that destination and doing something productive. Kach lecha misham isha. And take a wife. Yaakov wasn't simply saying run from here, but go. There's an objective at arriving in the place and doing something positive. And there's an important lesson here, that even when we have a difficult situation, it's not about running from the situation, avoiding the situation. But even if we want to avoid the situation, hopefully there's always something positive that we can generate from it. Even though we may want to run for something, change course, make decisions, but hopefully it's not simply running for something, but also there is something where we arrive at, or at least a lesson that we can learn from a difficult situation. And that's what we learn from Yitzhak. It's not about running. It's about learning, it's about an objective, it's about arriving at a new situation with a new understanding, and we should turn something into, even if it's very difficult, we should turn it into something incredibly positive. And that is indeed what we learn from the instruction of Yitzhak to Yaakov. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.